Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. At the very outset, before we get into our shiur whatsoever, a major disclaimer is that we are in the middle of a discussion that was exceptionally detailed, and it will not be possible for me to reconstruct all of the details in anticipation of the continuation of the Gemara. In fact, our previous shiur, the Daf Yud Ches, Daf Yomi shiur, really should have been fused together with this so as to circumvent any need for introduction. But the circumstances are such that we are basically picking up where we left off, and if you happen to be a first-time listener, so I would highly recommend, in fact, it would be almost impossible to understand today's shiur without having been fully familiar with that which we discussed in our previous shiur. That's as far as a disclaimer is concerned. We will begin today's shiur, you'll see, 8 lines from the bottom, a bow-tied Rav Popa, and this is indicated as number 2. He is a number 2, whereas Rebbe Oshaya, back on Daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph, was Yud Ches Amid Beis, correction, Yud Ches Amid Beis, was the first bow-tie, right after the Mishnah, in the middle of Yud Ches Amid Beis. These represent 2 approaches to the Shita of the Tana, Rebbe Shimon, regarding Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hoyabolamo. And we discussed in short note form Yibein Ulebesof Noilad versus Nolad Ulebesof Yibein. Hopefully that terminology is very clear at this point. According to Rebbe Yoshaya, the case of, as far as Shitas Rebbe Shimon is concerned, he allowed Yibum, even in the case of Nolad, where Levi, in our example that we had used in our previous year, was born. Levi was born before Shimon did Yibum to Reuven's Almona. So, as far as the Amora Rebbe Oshaya, the Tana Rebbe Shimon allows Yibum in both cases of the Mishnayos, both Yud Ches Amid Beis and the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, both cases of Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hoyav Olamo, Rebbe Shimon was allowing Yibum. Not only in the case of Noilad Ulebesof Yibem, which was the feature of Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, but also Yibem Ulebesof Nolad, which was taught in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. In the discussion, Rebbe Shaya made the point that Rebbe Shaya knows this from the fact there's a Mishnah Yaseira. There was an extra piece of information in the Mishnah that led us to this conclusion. And that at the end of the day, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, even though when you learn the Mishnah in and of itself, it looks like a restrictive Mishnah, it was taught in anticipation of the opinion of Rebbe Shimon, as that very case, Rebbe Shimon, who appears on Daf Yud Ches, in the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis, allows the case of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph as well. Rav Papa disagrees, and now we turn to the Gemara of Papa Omar, the Yibem V'Achar Kach Nolad Polig Rebbe Shimon, in that which was featured in the Mishnah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that case he allows, as the Mishnah indicated. However, B'Nolad V'Achar Kach Yibem, that was the case in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that Rebbe Shimon lo polig. He does not disagree with the Rabbanan, and he will tell you that in Nolad V'Achar Kach Yibeim, where Levi is born into a world seeing the Almona of Reuven unattached, she hasn't yet been married by the brother Shimon. There, the Tano, Rabbi Shimon, agrees with the Rabbanan that she, the Almona of Reuven, is off limits to Levi, who was born after Reuven's death. That's Nolad, first the birth of Levi, the Achar Kach Yibeim, and then Shimon does the Yibum. Well, if that's the case, that the Mishnah on Yud Zayin, which presents that which is prohibited, and Rabbi Shimon allows only that which is featured on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, why do I need two Mishnayos to convey the position of the Rabbonan? Once the Rabbonan on Yud Ches Amud Beis tell me that Yibeim Ulebeso V'Achar Kach Nolad is prohibited, then the case of Yud Zayin is obvious. The Gemara says Utrevayu the Rabbonan Itzdrich, both Mishnayos and their restrictions regarding the Eishes Ochav Shelo Beloma are needed to feature the opinion of the Rabbonan. And the Mishnah structure is as follows: the Loi Zu Af Zu Kotoni. That means not only is the case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibeim, the Mishnah on Yud Zayin, not only is that case for prohibited, but even Afzu, even the later, the second Mishnah, the Seifa of Yud Ches Amud Beis, which appeared to be, let's say, more likely to be allowed, but even that case is prohibited. Again, Lo Zu, not only that which is, we'll say, obviously prohibited, which is featured on Daf Yud Zayin, but even this case is prohibited as well. The case of Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Mishnah that spoke about Yibeim V'Achar Kach Nolad. Tanya Kavosei D'Rav Papa Utyufta D'Rabbi Oshaya. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Papa, that Rabbi Shimon is modeh, concedes to prohibition in the case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibeim. And that source that we're going to see presents then a refutation to the opinion of Rabbi Oshaya. So we'll continue with the Gemara, and by all means note that this is a long point. Shnei Achim, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon, Ba'oilom Echad, that coexist, Umeis Echad Mehen Belo Velad, and we'll say one of them dies, Reuven dies, for example, without any children. The Omad Hasheni Hazeh Lasus Maimer Bivinto, and Shimon arose with the intention of doing Maimer, to offer money. We have spoken at length about Maimer in the past. This is a rabbinic institution of offering money to a Yavama, which is, as we say, in a regular marriage, that's the way you actually create a marriage. In Yibum, there's already a type of relationship that exists, but he, in addition to that, he offers money. For though he speak lasos bo maimer ad shenolad lo ach, and he didn't do any maimer until a new brother was born. Levi was born, umes, and then Shimon dies. So now this we've charted out in the past. We see here Reuven having died, leaving a brother Shimon having a, we'll say, some type of intention of doing Maimer with the Almona, with the widow, and not doing anything, and then Levi is born. And now Shimon dies. Now Shimon, we didn't point out, but he leaves his own wife. Harishoina Yoitza Mishum Eishes Ochiv Shloi Balamo, the Almona of Reuven, goes free. She is off limits to Levi. She is the wife of a brother that did not coexist with Levi. Ushnia, the wife of Shimon, the widow of Shimon, Oicheletzes O Misyabemes. Either one of the Yibum options are open, either the shoe removal or the marriage. But there is a totally, let's say, Yibum-oriented relationship between Levi and the widow of Shimon. Also bo maimer, v'achar kach nolad ach. this is a different case, that namely where Shimon does mimer with the Almona of Reuven, and then a brother is born, Oy Shenoilad Loi Ach, Yachakach Osa Bo Mimer, Umes, or Levi is born, and then Shimon does a mimer with the Almona of Reuven, and then Shimon dies. Now, in both of these cases, mimer was done between Shimon and the Almona of Reuven. Horishoina yoitza mishum eshes ochiv shalei bolamoi. The Almona of Reuven is off limits to Levi. She is the wife of a brother that he, Levi, did not live didn't live at the same time with, namely with Reuven. Ushnia, the Almona of Shimon, choyletzes veloi misyabemes. Chalitza is done to with the widow of Shimon, but Yibum is not an option. Now Rashi explains at the bottom, choyletzes velo olim maimer l'shavit saras erva l'meibak v'velo klum. The reason for chalitza is that the fact that Shimon had done maimer doesn't make that forbidden woman completely married to Shimon. And now if she would have been completely married, let us say, to Shimon, then Shimon's own wife wouldn't have needed even chalitza. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, and the truth be told, we're bringing in this source really for the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and here he is, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Biosa Oy chalitzasa shel achas mehen poiteres tzorasa. The Gemara says shel achas mehen. It would be much simpler for us simply to, and you can see this will be discussed later in the Gemara. Rashi points this out also, that the bia, the actual yibum, the intimacy, or the shoe removal ceremony with the achas, meaning with Shimon's own wife, that is poteres sorosa. That will release the almona of Reuven. Cholatz lebalas maimer loy niftara tzara. If chalitza is done with the almona of Reuven who received the maimer, so that does not release the tzara. If you contrast this with the line just before, we said poteres sarasa, that's because the biar chalitza was done with the wife, the widow of Shimon, where Levi had a regular yibum relationship with Shimon. Those were two brothers that did coexist, so that Levi's choice with regard to Shimon's widow will freeze the widow of Reuven completely. However, if Levi decides to have his dealings with the Balas HaMaimer, so that doesn't free Shimon's widow. Shimon's widow is still bound, in Yibum terms, to Levi. Konsa umes, v'achakach nolad lo'ach. If Shimon marries the widow of Reuven, full konsa, regular Yibum marriage, and then Shimon dies, and then v'acha nolad lo'ach, and then Levi is born. Now, as you can see, Levi did not coexist with Reuven nor Shimon in this case. Oy shenoilad lo'ach v'achar kach konsa, or Levi is born, and then Shimon marries the Almona of Reuven, Umeis, and then Shimon dies. Shtehen pturos min hachalitza min hayibum. Now, here we have to emphasize, notice the order of events. Levi is born, and then the widow of Reuven does yibum with Shimon. Both women, Shimon's own wife and the woman who was originally the widow of Reuven, are exempt. And we're adding here the very important information. They are exempt, even according to Rabbi Shimon, from anything. And this is exactly what Rav Papa had taught. And this information is found in the Rashi, and it's extremely important because it's you see here that in the case of Nolad Ula Besof Yibeim, she's called Eishes Ochev Shelo Ba'olamot, just like Rav Papa taught. Konsa V'Nolad Lo Ach V'Achar Kach Meis. This is a case of Yibeim Ula Besof Nolad. Shtehen pturos min achlitza u min ayibum, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Shimon Oimer. Now, this case of Rebbe Shimon, we have to clarify what he is referring to. He says, Hoyul ubo umotza beheter. Let's take a look at the last case we read. Konsa v'nolad lo ach. The case, if we go back 3-4 lines, there's a little dalid. Shimon married the widow of Reuven, and then Levi was born. So Levi and Shimon coexisted, and then Shimon died. So Rebbe Meir said both are exempt from chalitza nibum. Rabbi Shimon, on this point, disagrees. He says, since he finds when Levi is born, he finds the widow of Reuven married to Shimon, so he finds her married to a brother that he coexists with. And at no point was she a widow of a brother, was she strictly a widow of a brother that he did not coexist with. Miabim lezemem shirtza. Levi can marry either one, either the actual wife of Shimon or the woman who was previously the widow of Reuven. Or he does chalitza with either one. As far as Levi, the brother Levi, is concerned in this case, both women married to the brother Shimon are regular Shimon wives. Ha bava de seifa, this last case that we call Yibeim Ulubasof Nolad. This last case it was labeled Dalit above. Laman Kotoni Law. For the benefit of whom was this last case featured? E Lemo the Rebbe Meir Kotoni Law. If it's taught for the purpose of highlighting Rebbe Meir's opinion, Michti. Let's look into this. Lo Shoni Lei the Rebbe Meir. As far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, there is no difference between Yibeim v'acharkach Nolad, bein Nolad v'acharkach Yibeim. He has the same approach to both cases. Both are usur. L'arvinu v'lisninu. So both cases should have been taught in a consecutive fashion, one together with the other. If we take a look at the Rashi a few lines down from here, La'arvinu, La'bovi, the sections, V'lisni, B'rei Shahachi. The Tanaic source should have read, if this section is for the benefit or the purpose of accentuating or highlighting the opinion of Rebbe Meir, it would have been more streamlined to teach it as follows. Konsa umeis v'achar kach nolad lo ach, that we call yivei mulvasof nolad. That's an extreme case of ach shelohoi blomo. Oi shenoilad loy ach v'achar kach konsa umeis. That's nolad ulebesof yibeim oy shekonsa v'nolad lo ach, or the case of that's yibeim ulebesof nolad v'achach meis shtehen pturos. In all of these cases, the two widows of Shimon are exempt. But that's not how the source appeared. Elo mida palginu, from the fact that the source split up the examples, as we saw when we read the source. Shmamino mishum da'iri bo Rebbe Shimon he da'ashme'inen. It's because Rebbe Shimon disagrees. De v'ha l'chuda polik. That's only in that case. In the case of what we call dalid of konsa v'nolo ach, only there does Rabbi Shimon express his permission. Mishum debal matzav heter avo barei shamoida. But in the case of nolad ulebesof yibeim, where first Levi was born and then Shimon did the yibum, Rabbi Shimon will agree that it is forbidden. So that's the support to Rav Papa. As the Gemara goes on to say, El Olav, the Gemara, we pick up the Gemara where we left off, El Olav, Rabbi Shimon, the reason for teaching the case we have above as Dalid in an isolated fashion, as in a separate form, it is there for the purpose of bringing out the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Ubayibeim v'achar kach nolad polig. And only in that case does Rabbi Shimon express his heter, because as we said before, when Levi is born, he sees the widow of Reuven already married to Shimon. But nolad v'achar kach yibeim. However, in the case where first Levi is born and then Shimon marries her, lo polig, Rabbi Shimon does not disagree. He will agree that she is forbidden, just like Rav Papa taught. Shma minoso. This is proof. It's from this source and the way it is structured that we see that Rabbi Shimon has his leniency only in the case of Yibeim v'achar kach nolad. As the Gemara continues, it will be analyzing different sections of the Tanaic source that began at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Omar Mar, and in order to help you find where the quote comes from, use by all means the reference points to the side of the Gemara text, so you can see the arrow here indicates that this comes from Omid Aleph, and you can look there for the corresponding arrow if you want to see where this quote comes from. It said there, Omar Hasheni lasos maimer biavimto. This was the case where Reuven died, leaving a brother, Shimon. And Shimon is called the Sheni. He gets up to do Mimer, but he doesn't have a chance to do Mimer until a brother is born, Levi is born, and then Shimon dies. So, as far as the way things are presented here, it doesn't sound like Mimer was done. So, on the other hand, it says is that he didn't have a chance to do Mimer until Levi was born. What happened after Levi was born? It doesn't say here. What it does say is that Shimon then died. Rishoni yotze mishum eishes ochem shel b'olamo, the widow of Reuven is forbidden to Levi because she is the wife of a brother that did not coexist with Levi. Ushnia, the wife of Shimon, who did see Levi, so oy choletzis o misyabemis. So the regular laws of Yibum apply to the widow of Shimon with regard to Levi. My omad umay lo hispik. What do these words mean? In this source, you see these expressions. We've dashed underlined them so you can refer to them quickly. What do those expressions mean? E ovad ovad. If he did do mimer, so he did it. And v lo ovad lo ovad. If he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Elo omad means midaita. Shimon attempted to offer her money contingent on her approval. But it didn't work out like that. He didn't have a chance, or he didn't accomplish offering it to her with her approval. She didn't approve, but rather he forced it on her. That's Baal Korcha. He forced the Kedushe Mimer, the Mimer money, on her against her will. Udelo Karebi. Now, as far as this source is concerned, did the mimer that he forced on her have any effect? Well, as you see from the source, it didn't cause any bonding between Shimon and the widow of Reuven. Now, how do we know that? Because the other wife of Shimon, Shimon's regular wife, was not affected by her presence, by the presence of the Almona of Reuven, by witness of the text that said, Ocho letzeso misyabemes. So that nothing was accomplished in this forced mimer. Udalo kirebi, the approach we just stated, is not like that of Rebbe. Desanya, ha'isa mimer biavimto, shalomi daita, one who offers money to a Yavama without her acceptance, without her approval. Rebbe oimer koine. Rebbe says it works, it does create a bond, some level of acquisition. And I know that we've mentioned in the past, but maybe we didn't mention it today, the concept of mimer, offering money to a Yavama, is a, we'll say, a rabbinic concept. Does it create a rabbinic level bond or not? Rebbe says it does. And Vachomim Omrim Lo Kona. Vachomim say nothing is accomplished. And since nothing is accomplished, when Shimon dies, he had done nothing with regard to the Almona of Reuven, even though he forced money on her, but it's worth nothing. Therefore, Shimon's wife is a wife in isolation. She's not affected by the presence of the Almona of Reuven, and hence Levi can deal with her either through Yibum or Chalitza. My time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe give credence to Maimer Baal Korcha, forced money given to her, to the Yavama, that again, that Shimon gave the widow of Reuven money by force in attempting to create this Maimer bond? Why does it have value? Gomar Mibia de Yavama. He learns the rules of Maimer, which is a rabbinic concept, from the rules of intimacy with a Yavama, which is a Torah concept. Ma biyod yavama bal korcha, just like a forced intimacy with the yavama is effective. It's not called a rape. It's called an effective means of acquisition. She becomes his wife. And that's learned from the Torah. So just like yavama, but biyod bal korcha works, af kidushin di yavama bal korcha, so too money offered to, which is, as we said, a rabbinic concept, but it works even if it's done forcibly, so that there's a precedent, there's a prototype for something done bal korcha and being effective in the realm of yibum. The Rabbanan gamri mikidushin de'amo. The Rabbanan de-emphasize the fact that we're dealing with the Yavama, but rather emphasize money exchange in general, money with regard to marriage in general. So, ma kidushin da'amo mi daito, just like in general, forced money given to an unrelated woman, when you want to marry a woman and you force money on her, it is meaningless. It doesn't, kidushin, marriage, matrimony is effectuated only if it's with her approval. Therefore, we learn from that as the prototype. Money in marriage is done, is effective only midaita, af kidushin di yavama, so to money offered to yavama, midaita, will be effective only if it's with her approval. So that is the explanation of the Rabbanan. B'mai komifliki, what's the underlining root of this machlokis? Mar sover mili divoma, have it lay lemelaf. Rebbe holds that matters of Yibum are learned from other matters of Yibum. In other words, matters of, let's say, money given to Yavama are learned from other Yibum precedents, namely the intimacy precedent. Or more so for the Rabbonan, the Chachomim hold, mili de kiddushin. Kiddushin is a term used for money, money in the context of marriage, is learned mili de kiddushin. Havi leili mef. You're supposed to emphasize the money aspect and not the yibum aspect. So if you're emphasizing money aspect, you're looking for precedence in the realm of money in marriage, and we find there that only if it's done midaita will it be effective. The slash indicates a new trend of thought, but we are still within analyzing the source, and hence you have a reference to where this quote is coming from. Also, bo maimer, the acharkach nolad loy ach. Continuing the example we've been using, Shimon offers money to the widow of Reuven, and then Levi is born. Oy shenolad loy ach, the acharkach also bo maimer, or Levi is born, and then Shimon does Maimer with the Almona of Reuven, Umes, and then Shimon, the brother Shimon, dies. He dies leaving not only this Balas HaMaimer, but also Balas HaMaimer, meaning the widow of Reuven that he did some money relationship with, but he also has his own wife. Rishayna Yotza Mishum Eshes Achav Shalab Olamo. The first woman, namely the widow of Reuven that received money from Shimon, she is off limits to Levi completely. She's an Eshes Achav Shalama. She's the wife of a brother that he did not coexist with. Ushnia, that's Shimon's own wife, Choyletzes V'lo Misyabemes. She doesn't enter a Yibum marriage relationship, but Chalitza is necessary. Rav Shimon Omer, Bi'asa Chalitzasa Shel Achas Man Poiteres Tzorasa. Rav Shimon says the Bia or the Chalitza with one of them releases the other. Poiteres means completely released. Rav Shimon Ahei Koi. Rav Shimon's comment here is going on which case? I lemo anoilad loy ach v'achar kach osa bo maimer. If you're saying that Rav Shimon is referring to the case where Levi is born, and then Shimon does maimer, ho amris, but we have already said benoilad ulebesof yibem lo polig Rabbi Shimon. In a case of noilad ulebesof yibem, which we just stated, Rabbi Shimon asers, he says there is no yibum. Elo a also bo maimer v'achar kach nolad lo ach. Rather, Rabbi Shimon is going on the case where first Shimon did Maimer, and then Levi was born. Before going on in the Gemara, I would like to go over the section we just learned with the Rashi. Rashi, Dibur Masa Elo, A Oso Bo Maimer V'Achar Kach Nolad Ach. Rav Shimon had mentioned the Oso O Chalitzasa Shel Achas Mehen Poteres Sarasa is going on the case where Shimon did Maimer, Shimon the brother Shimon did Maimer, and then Levi was born. V'Ashmeinin B'Resha, and we're taught in reference to this case, the Resha, this was the first of the two cases we saw just now, where Oso Bo Maimer V'Achar Nolad Lo Ach, we're taught here with Reb Shimon's comment of the Bia or Chalitza with the wife of Shimon is as follows. The Maimer Sofek Koine Legamri Sofek Loi Koine V'Afilu Mitzas. We see Rabbi Shimon's attitude toward the Maimer that the brother Shimon had done with the Amonas Reuven as either totally effective or totally ineffective. V'afilu Mitzas Lo Mahani Hilkoch. And by the way, it's from this Rashi that we knew when the source used the expression shel achas man, we referred to the achas man as the shnia, as the wife of Shimon, from what we see here in Rashi. That whatever Levi does with the actual wife of Shimon, releases, exempts the tzora, the wife of Reuven, from needing anything. And how does this operate? E Maimer Hameis Kinyan Gomer Hu. If the Maimer that Shimon did with the Almonas Reuven was a full-fledged Kinyan, a full-fledged acquisition, Havele, then this is a straightforward case of Yibeim Ulubasof Noah. The Yibeim, the Maimer being like the Yibum. The Maimer being the equivalent of a Kinyan Gomer, a complete acquisition. And then on the part of Shimon, and then Levi is born. If you would accept that, so then even the Almonas Reuven would have been fit for Yibum with Levi, because she was completely married to Shimon. The Lav Kinyan Gomor Hu, and if it's not a Kinyan whatsoever, Basraiso Sharya. By the way, when the Rashi says v'ilav kinyan gomer, who means it means it's not a kinyan at all. And if you take that approach, then the Basraisa, the wife of Shimon, is muteris, the lav tzoras ervohi. She is not considered co-wife of a forbidden woman. Dekinyan mixes b'maimer less leiler of Shimon. Partial acquisition is something that Reb Shimon doesn't hold from. It's like it's all or nothing. So as Rashi just said, namely, if the Mimer is a complete kinyan, so it's considered a complete marriage, and both women that Shimon was married to would be available to Levi. And if you say it's not a kinyan at all, it's nothing, then once again, Shimon's widow is available to Levi. She's not a tzor, she's not a co-wife of a forbidden woman. So that's what we learn from this case of also of Rabbi Shimon's comment on also bo maimer v'achakach nolad lo ach, and Rabbi Shimon says that the bia or chalitza with Shimon's wife releases the balas ha-maimer. Rashi continues, Ubaseifa Ashminen, and in the Seifa, the next case, we are informed, and this requires a little bit of inference, but through the sukya we saw before, we learned that only in the case of Ashminen, the Yibeim Ulubasof Nalad Hu Desharya, that was a case featured later in the source. That only in that case does Rav Shimon Matir Avol Noilad Lubasof Yibeim, but this case that we labeled as number two, Asura, that is forbidden. That in that case, because Levi was born when nothing had been done with the Almona of Reuven, the Lo Tamo, and we're telling you here that you should not say that Biasa O Chalitzos, Rav Shimon Bereisha, that the ruling of Rabbi Shimon, where he says the Yibum or the Chalitza is effective, is going on the case of Anolad V'Achnevosobo Maimer, namely case number two, that we featured as number two. That don't say that it's going Nami Koi, that it's going on that case as well. Because in that case, Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's a straightforward case of Eishes Ochiv Shaloi HaBolomo. And the term Poteres Sarasa would simply not be appropriate. We continue now in the Gemara. We are at the third to last narrow line in the Gemara text. Cholatz Labalas Maimer Lo Niftara Tzora. This is you can see where this quote is coming from. Just use the star, single star, and you see it's coming from the upper part of the second line from the top. If chalitza was done by Levi to the widow of Reuven, lo niftara tzora, that does not release Shimon's wife. My time, mishum dahavoy tzora vaday. The tzora is a reference to Shimon's wife. She's considered a tzora, co-wife, because Maimer was done. So it's like there was some kind of relationship attempted on the part of Shimon to Reuven's widow. But the tzora being Shimon's actual wife is a vadai. She's certainly shayach. She's certainly connected to Yibum. Ubalas Maimer sofek. And the woman who received the Maimer, that was the widow of Reuven that Shimon had given Kesef Maimer to, is only a doubtful bond. We saw that before in the Rashi. Rabbi Shimon is ambivalent toward what Maimer accomplishes. It's either all or nothing. So it's a suffek. It could be nothing. V'ein suffek mosi midei vadai. And if you were to do chalitza to her, it's a suffek whether it has any meaning whatsoever. So it could not possibly, the chalitza you do with the widow of Reuven who received Maimer could not possibly release the vadai, the widow of Shimon, who definitely has a Yibum connection to Levi. Yosef Rav Menashe Bar Zvid, Kamed Rav Huna, V'Yosef Viko Omar. My Taimo, the Rebbe Shimon. The Gemara asks, what kind of question is this? My time with Rabbi Shimon? What is the reason for Rabbi Shimon? You're asking, Kidomar Taimo. Hoyolu bo motso beheter velo omdo olof shaw achas beiser. If you're asking as to why Rabbi Shimon allows, in the case of Yibeim ulebesof nolad, why he allows Levi to engage in Yibum, it's because, as it said in the source, when he was born, he found her, the widow of Reuven, married completely to Shimon. Elo mai taimo de Rabbonan. What is the reason for the Rabbonan that Aser, in the case of Yibeim ulebesof nolad, where first Reuven did Yibum, and then Levi was born. Why do they Aser Levi, and upon the death of Shimon, why do they Aser Levi from marrying her? Omar Kro, v'lokcho loy li'isha v'yibma. That is a quote from the Pasuk. And the Rabbonin say, Adayin Yibumum Harishonim Oleha. The original Yibum label is upon her. Meaning that when this woman, the former Almona of Reuven, became an Almona, so she's referred to as the Yavama, having come from Reuven. She is an Ashes Ochiv Shalohoya Boloma with regard to Levi. So even when Levi is born, that label sticks to her, even though she had previously married Shimon. The Gemara continues, Elohad Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that says, Konsa harehi ki ishtoi l'chol davar, that when Yibum is done, the woman becomes like his wife regarding all matters, a full-fledged, regular wife. V'yomer Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina melamed, this drosha teaches me, we continue at the top of Daf Chof, shemegarsha beget umachzira, that if after a Yavam does Yibum with the Yavama, if he doesn't want to continue with her, the only way to get rid of her is through a divorce document. And after that, if he wants to, he can remarry her, just like any husband who divorces his wife, assuming she doesn't marry someone else in the interim, he can take her back. Well, that is what we learned from the Tanaic source and Rabbi Yossi's din. However, if what you said regarding the time of the Rabbonin, the reason for Rabbonin is Adayin Yibum Rishon Aleha, well, Hosam Nami Lema, so too in a case of regular Yibum, why not say Lema V'Yivmo from the Pasuk Adayin Yibumim HaRishonim Aleha, the original Yibum status remains upon her, V'Tiboy Chalitza, namely that if a man does Yibum and he wants to release her after he did Yibum, she still has a Yibum title to her. So in order to release a Yavama, you would have to do Chalitza. So even if you tell me she needs a get, she should also require Chalitza for their separation. The Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam, that case is different. Namely, a case where a man does Yibum, and he wants to release her. The Yomar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'lokcha loy le'isha. And we darshan from this pasuk, which is in the context of Yibum, v'kevon shilokcha, once he marries her, once he does Yibum with her, nasis ki ishtoi l'chol davar, she becomes a full-fledged wife, regular wife, teaching us there's no need for anything else other than a simple divorce document, a get. Ihachi, well, if that be the case, then hocho nami ho kosav rachmona v'yivma. In the case of the Rabbonan who spoke about Shimon marrying Yibeim ulebesof nolad, once Shimon marries the Almona of Reuven, so that should be the end of the story. We should say that it's a full-fledged marriage. Let us correct ourselves and just go back the last phrase and say it, teach it more accurately. We were just told that in a case of a standard Yibum marriage, the Lokhol Elisha tells me that once he takes her as a wife, she becomes a full-fledged wife and no need for anything else to release other than a get. The Gemara asks, though, Ihachi Hachanami, but here too, in the case of a regular Yibum marriage, Hakaz Rachmona V'Yivma, does it not say V'Yivma, which which tells us that she still does have a Yibum identity and Chalitza should be necessary. In other words, it's very nice that you say that after Yibum she becomes Ishtoy L'Choldaper, but what do you do with the word V'Yivma? And that expression we had used to explain before why Levi, even though Shimon did Yibum with the Amonas Ruvain, Levi still cannot marry her according to the Rabbanan. Uma Rois, why is it that you, in the case of a standard Yibum where there's Ruvain and Shimon, Ruvain dies and Shimon does Yibum, does in that case she become a full-fledged wife? And in the case of the birth of Levi afterwards, do we say that the Yibum status and hence the prohibition of marrying her based on Eishes of Shlomo still applies? Why do you apply, we'll say, restriction in one case and non-restriction, non-Yibum association in the other case? The Gemara answers, Mistabra, most likely, Shadi Hetera Ahetera, will darshan the pasuk of V'lokha Lo Li'isha, which is Heter, meaning you don't need any more Chalitza. Chalitza is not necessary anymore. In a case of Heter, meaning where the where one was allowed to marry the wife of his brother. And where was the case that he was allowed to marry the wife of his brother? Where Reuven died, leaving a brother that coexisted with him. So that's a heter case. It's mutter for Shimon to marry the wife of Reuven. So we darshan heter, that which is considered a allowing, permission, lenient, to a case of permission. V'shadi isura a isura, and the drosha of vivma, which means that the yibum, the avoma status remains on her, which is a restrictive idea, we attach that to isura, to a case where there is something that is prohibited, as in the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayo Balomo. Upon Levi's birth, after the death of Reuven, you have a situation of restriction, of prohibition. So in that case, the laws of restriction manifest themselves. Rashi, he says this very briefly, third narrow line, Aisura hecho di'iko tzad isur, where there is some element of prohibition, kamo be'eshes ochiv shaloya balamo, then we say, v'yivmo, the yavoma status remains upon her, and with that we explain why the Rabbanan say, even in a case of Yibay Melibusof Nolad, even though Shimon married the widow of Reuven before Levi was born, and Levi was born seeing her fully married to Shimon, it doesn't release her or doesn't annul the status of having been a widow of an Ochiv Shelo Hoya Ba'olamo. Let us continue in the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Shimon the Omar, Hoyu Ubo Umotza Beheter. According to Rabbi Shimon's approach regarding the case of Levi's birth, after Shimon did Yibum with the Almon of Reuven, according to Rabbi Shimon, when the brother Shimon dies, Levi can do Yibum. Why? Because when Levi was born, he found her totally married to the Almon of Reuven, married to Shimon, a brother with whom Levi coexisted. Elo me'ata, if this be the case, achoisoi me'imoi shenosa ochiv me'oviv. Let's take a look at a chart that describes this, a little diagram on the side. You have a few couples above. You have, if you start from the right-hand side, top line of the diagram, is an Isha, an Ish. They produced a son. That man was married to another woman, and they together produced a son. Notice that these bens have a common father. It's just important to note they have a common father. And then there's an Isha with an Ish. There, from another marriage, a daughter was produced. If you take a look at there's a stage one on the chart is Nisuin. That Bas marries the Ben. That's stage one. They marry. They can marry because they have two separate sets of parents, as is apparent from the diagram. After their marriage, a son is born. That's called where the number two appears. He is born. And number three, third stage, his brother dies. So when that Ben Nolad number two was born, he found his half-sister married to his half-brother. That was a permitted marriage. So when that Ben number two was born, he found a permitted marriage. So using the logic of Hayilu Bo Motzei Beheter, applying that to this, when that Ben Nolad number two on the diagram takes place, he is born. So we continue in the Gemara. The line beginning V'achar kach Nolad ach umeis, that's stage three. Tisyabem, let that son, let that brother of common father marry his half sister. Tisyabem hoyulu motza ubo motza beheter. He should now be able to do Yibum with his half-sister. The Gemara says, what kind of suggestion is that? Isur achoso lehechon ozal? Where did the prohibition of sister go? Where did that go out the window? That prohibition still exists. Rashi says, Isur achoso... Well, let's continue actually in the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, if you say that the prohibition is based on a previous existing Isser, so Hochanami, so too in the case that you are allowing Isser Ochiv Shelo Hoyo Be'olam Lehechon Ozal. Rabbi Shimon was matir the case of Yibeim Ubasof Nolad, where Shimon, the brother Shimon, did Yibum to the widow of Reuven, and then Levi was born. So Rabbi Shimon was matir, allowed that case. But did we not describe the widow of Reuven as being, at the point she fell to Yibum, she is a woman that is usher in theory to Levi, because she is the wife of a brother that Levi never coexisted with? So where did that Isur go? That Rabbi Shimon still says he can do Yibum. The Gemara explains there's a fundamental difference. Hai Isur de Les Le Hetera. One is an example of an Isur that has no permission to it. Namely, the Isur of sister is never allowed. Hai Isura de Is Le Hetera. The case of Eshes Ach is an Isur that has a heter to it. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Isur Achoso Les Le Heter. Avol Isur Eshes Ach, the prohibition of brother's wife, Islay Heter Kishain Lo Bonim, in a standard case of a brother dying, leaving no children, even though brother's wife is generally speaking a prohibited relationship, brother's wife is allowed under those circumstances. Hilkoch Kishemes Rishon Below Bonim, when Reuven died, leaving no children, Poka Isuro Legabi Sheni, that prohibition became freed, was voided regarding the second brother Shimon. Vinosa, and then Shimon married a woman that was totally mutter to him. Vashlishi, Levi, born after Shimon did Yibum, Mikoach Sheni Bo, he's coming into the picture because of the death of Shimon, a brother that he coexisted with. So that any problem in the case of Eishes Ochav Shelo Belomo, that problem was solved as we just described. However, the problem of sister, that we don't find any precedent for it being voided or annulled. So that problem remains. Hence the suggestion of of that, that which we saw in the diagram, that after his half-brother from common father dies, that he should be allowed to marry his sister in Yibum, that is rejected. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.